Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that wonderful promise, 1 Corinthians 15, 57 and 58. And so thankful for that truth. Genesis chapter number 12 this evening, we'll be looking at verses 10 through 20. Genesis chapter number 12, verses 10 through 20. You'll recall in our last study that we studied the first portion of Genesis chapter number 12. We looked at verses 1 through 9 last Sunday evening, and we had the opportunity to read how that Abram left Haran, and he had, of course, been there. He had traveled from the Ur of the Chaldees to Haran, and his father, Terah, died there in Haran. And we understand that Abram, then the Lord speaks to him. And of course, we find that the Bible tells us that he went into the land of Canaan, the place in which God had directed him to. This evening, as we look at verses 10 through 20, we notice in verse number 10, the Bible says there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I've titled the message this evening, Abram Went Down into Egypt. Abram went down into Egypt. As we continue studying through the book of Genesis, we now find Abram and his family traveling to Egypt. And we remember, even as we've studied really the latter part of chapter number 11 into chapter number 12, that Abram had exercised faith and he obeyed the instruction that God had given him, and traveling from the Ur of the Chaldees to Haran and then over down, if you will, down to Canaan. And what a blessing to see the leadership of the Lord. I'm so thankful for God's direction in our lives. I'm thankful for the Word of God that gives us direction. And we find that as we would trace the steps of Abram, that we would conclude this evening that he was obedient to the instruction of the Lord in being in the place where he was. And in that leadership, or in that obedience to God's leadership, we would conclude that he was in the place where he was supposed to be. Amen? And we would find that throughout the Scriptures, there are many times in which you find the people of God have obeyed the direction of the Lord. They're exactly where God has told them to be, and yet they face difficulties. We are mindful of the disciples as they were given the instruction to get on the boat and to cross the Sea of Galilee. And as soon as they get partly across the sea, there's a great storm. And the wind is boisterous and all that's going on. And we find that they were obedient. It was not a result of their disobedience that they found themselves in a hardship, in a place of difficulty. In fact, it was because of their obedience to the instruction that God had given that they found themselves in that position. We said, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, it does from God's perspective. Because we find that from God's perspective that He's really interested in doing a couple of things in our lives. Number one, He wants to develop us. He wants to help us to grow in our walk with Him. And of course, we understand that in all things, He is to be glorified. And we find that throughout the Scriptures, there are many times in which you would read of individuals that find themselves in difficulty, and God would be glorified through the situation. In fact, in the nation of Israel, in their history, as you would find that they leave Egypt and they are following the direction of the Lord, that they come to places of difficulty. It was not a result of their disobedience, rather a result of their obedience. And God was developing them, and God was being glorified through those situations. And we believe that to be the case here in Genesis chapter number 12 as well. As we look at the passage, notice with me, first of all, the difficulty in Canaan. Notice the Bible says that there was a famine in the land. Now, of course, we understand this evening several things about God, and we understand that Abram will learn many things about God during his journey, during his life. We find that today, as we have the complete canon of Scripture, that there are things that we know about God because He's given us His Word. Oh, aren't you thankful for that? I'm thankful this evening that we know that God is omniscient, that He knows all things. How do we know that God is omniscient? Because He's told us in His Word. Amen? It's Abraham that would receive the truth from the Lord. When God says to Abraham, I am the Lord, He tells him that He's El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty, and He reveals Himself in that fashion to Abraham. Well, because we have the complete canon of Scripture, we know that He is omnipotent. We are aware of these truths, And we understand that He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And so we would understand as we come to verse number 10 here in Genesis chapter number 12, that Abram did not know about the famine, but surely God knew about the famine. Amen? Now understand with me that Abram lives life just like you and I live life. How do we live life? We live life one day at a time, one moment at a time, correct? And we live life in that fashion, and we understand that Abram would live life in that fashion. In fact, all of the characters that we find within the Word of God, they live life the same way that we do, and we often have the understanding, because we have the complete canon of Scriptures, that we can look to and say, well, look at what's going to happen, and look at how this transpires, and so on and so forth, and we can miss the understanding that they were living life one day at a time, just like we are. Abram is in a place, think about it, I mean, put yourself in Abram's shoes. He's left the Ur of the Chaldees, he's traveled to Haran, he's left Haran, and he's now down in Canaan. He's in the place where God wants him to be, and the Bible says, and there was a famine in the land. That could be kind of disappointing. Right? I mean, seriously, put yourself in Abram's position. Understand where he is. We could ask ourselves this evening, couldn't God have delayed his sending Abram? Couldn't God have done this? Yeah, but God was going to do something greater. And through the events that we read here in Genesis chapter number 12, though Abram might not pass the test as well as we would like Abram to pass the test, we as believers that have the complete canon of Scripture, we get to learn some amazing truth from this passage of Scripture. And I'm so thankful that God chose to record it. You ever wonder why God has chosen to record certain things and other things we don't have a whole lot of information about? God's chosen to record exactly what He knows in His infinite wisdom that we need. And so we look here and we see that the Bible says, and there was a famine in the land. No doubt, as we would consider the situation that Abram has now faced, that we too have experienced similar circumstances. Maybe it's not a famine, but let's just call it a difficulty as we're looking at the difficulty in Canaan. And maybe we've obeyed the Lord in some fashion in our lives. We've taken that step of obedience. We've taken that step of faith, and we're trusting God. And as soon as we take that step of faith, that step of obedience, we're met with adversity. What does that do to you? It can cause us to be like, really? Why? But we see that God's in control. God was the one that was leading Abraham. God was the one that was calling Abraham. If God is who He says He is, and we believe on the authority of the Word of God that He is who He claims to be, and He does not need anyone to define Him to us, He has defined Himself to us in His Word, then He is omniscient, and He chose to call Abram at the time that he did, to leave the place that he left, to come to the place that he did, knowing there was going to be a famine. Amen. We find the difficulty. Sometimes we think that difficulties are solely the result of disobedience. That's an error in our thinking. There are times in which we can view our own difficulties or challenges, or maybe we see the difficulties or challenges in the lives of others, and we conclude that there must be some level of disobedience, that it must be the chastening hand of the Lord. The reality is that it could be the chastening hand of the Lord, but we must acknowledge this evening that there are times in which obedience leads us directly into the storm. Can I tell you, to the lost person, that makes no sense. To the unregenerate man, that makes no sense. Because in their mind, they have this idea that if God is who you say He is, then He would never let those things happen. The problem is that they don't know who God is. They don't know the God of the Bible. And for us this evening that have the complete canon of Scripture, and we've studied and we've understood as much as we can understand how great our God is and how much He loves us and what His plan is, we see that there are times in which He leads us directly into the storm. See, the problem sometimes in our life, in our lives, is that we don't have the same view as God does. I think about it from a perspective of a construction project. I will readily admit at the beginning of this illustration that you don't want me running the construction project. But if I could use the illustration this evening, I think maybe it would help us. If you're going to have a massive construction project, if you come to church and you go down just a half a mile from here, you know that Flint Hill School has been going through a very massive construction project, right? If you drive on the roads in Northern Virginia, you understand that the roads are going through very massive construction projects. In fact, I made note to Joseph the other day as we were driving, we turned on a road where there had not been construction, and now there is construction, and I said, I think there's just construction everywhere, right? How many of you have been by the interchange of 28 and 66 up there in Chantilly, in Centerville, Chantilly area? I mean, it's insane what they're doing up there, right? Those that are watching live stream that live somewhere else, just bear with us. It's crazy what they're doing. But here's the point. There's somebody that is the head of the project that sees the full picture of what's going to happen. And then there's some worker over here that just knows this is his job today. He might not understand why he's doing the particular job that he's doing. He may not understand why it's so important that he does it this way and follows this plan. But the reality is that if he doesn't do his job properly, the whole of the project can fail. If I could use that illustration this evening and share with us tonight that God has a view that is far greater than our view. God has a plan that is far greater than our plan. And in God's plan and from God's view, He sees everything and He says, I'm going to allow this thing to happen. I'm going to allow my children to experience this difficulty so that I would be glorified, they would be developed, and so that I can accomplish my greater plan. And sometimes we're too nearsighted to understand how that thing works. And we don't understand the perspective of God and what He's doing. And there are some that say, well, why would He allow this? Why would He allow that? He has a purpose. He has a plan. And you know that as Abraham faces this difficulty, that he's exactly where he's supposed to be. It continues and says in verse number 10, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. We see the difficulty in Canaan. I see the decision of Abram. In the latter part of verse number 10, all the way down through verse number 16, we actually see many decisions that Abram will make with regard to this difficulty that he faces. Can I tell you that in our lives today that we oftentimes make decisions as a response to the difficulty? There are times in which we face the difficulty and we can question whether we really were following the leadership of God. Right? We're human beings. It happens. We say, man, I did pray about this. I did believe this was what I was supposed to do. But now I face this difficulty, and now I begin to second guess and wonder, did I really do what I was supposed to do, and so on and so forth. And sometimes we make decisions as a response to those difficulties. Maybe I should say it this way, as a reaction to the difficulties. We're reacting to the circumstances in which we're dealing with and not really sitting back and evaluating and responding in faith. And the Bible tells us that Abram does several things. There are several decisions that are made. We find, first of all, in verse number 10, that they travel to Egypt. It says that Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Notice, I mean, the famine was grievous in the land. By the way, in several books later, you will find, as you read the short book of Ruth, that there was also a famine during that particular time, and they went into the country of Moab. You can read about that. And so we see here that Abram is going to journey down into Egypt. Notice verse number 11, "And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife," this is the second decision that is made, he says, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." By the way, that's good, fellas, to tell your wife that she's pretty. Amen? That's really what he's saying. If we can use today's vernacular, he's saying, "Sarai, you're looking good." Amen? And that's what he's saying. Amen? He says, "Thou art a fair woman to look upon." Therefore, he's making this decision on how she would identify herself. It says this, "Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." So he gives instruction on how Sarai is to identify herself. The Bible tells us back in chapter number 11 that Abram, that his wife was Sarai. You see that in verse number 29, "And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai." We see that as we go through the passage of Scripture, even in verse number 5 of chapter number 12, it says, "And Abram took Sarai his wife." We find that in verse number 11 that he says, that he said unto Sarai his wife. But he begins to reason. He begins to analyze the situation, if you will. And he says, "Sarai, you're a pretty woman, and we're going to get there, and the Egyptians are going to conclude that you're my wife, and therefore they're going to kill me, and they're going to save you alive. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to identify yourself as being my sister." There's deception that's going on here. We understand this is a half-truth. He'll deal with this in a second time in Genesis chapter number 20. We'll mention that in just a moment. But you find here that he says in verse number 13, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." I believe that here, as we look at the decision that he makes with regard to giving instruction to Sarai about how she would identify herself, that I conclude simply that Abram is relying upon his own understanding. He's using his own logic. How often have we been there? We analyze a situation. We may take that piece of paper, as we've been instructed by so many throughout the years, and you list all the pros on this side, and you list all the cons on this side, right? We've gone through classes on decision making and so on and so forth. But the reality is that this man, Abram, at this point in his life, he is relying on his own understanding. God gives us truth with regard to that. We're familiar with Proverbs chapter number 3, verses 5 and 6, and it's such a powerful passage of Scripture. And I believe this evening that as we consider Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that God is giving us that instruction and that proverb about trusting in the Lord, because it's so easy for us as human beings to rely on our own understanding. And here's what God says. We're familiar with the passage. "Trust in the Lord," how? "With all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Then it says this, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths," thy paths. You think about that. I want God to direct my path. If we're honest this evening with one another, I'll be transparent with you. I have often the opportunity to be transparent publicly, and you get to smile at me. But we sometimes, as human beings, I sometimes rely on my own understanding. I look at the circumstances, I see the situation, and we kind of go into that default setting, if you will, as human beings. And then we got to kind of, hopefully the Spirit of God will kind of convict us, and we come to that place where you say, "Lord, I want to trust you. Help me to trust you. Help me to have faith. Help me to believe you." We find that as a result of these decisions, notice it says in verse 14, "And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that she was very fair." Abram wasn't lying about Sarai. She was a beautiful woman. And they saw that. And it says in verse 15 that the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he, Abram, had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maidservants and she asses and camels. And we saw that before in verse number 5. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered. And so we understand that they traveled down to Egypt and a great host of them. In fact, as you read verse number 1 of chapter 13, you see that the Bible says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south." And so you understand that they all traveled down into Egypt. I want you to consider that Sarai is now taken into Pharaoh's house. That's not a great situation, is it? Sometimes the decisions that we make when we rely on understanding can lead to greater problem. And we see here that Sarai is now taken into the home, the palace, if you will, of Pharaoh. And here it says that she's taken, the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. The decisions of Abram. We see the difficulty in Canaan. We see the decisions of Abram. I want you to notice with me as we look at the next several verses and close out chapter number 12, the demonstration of God's power. The demonstration of God's power. I'm so thankful that our God is able. Able to do what? Anything. I believe that this evening. I believe that God can do the impossible. I believe the truth of Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." I believe that as the God of the universe said to Jeremiah, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." God has declared his power throughout his word. It's one thing to declare your power. It's quite another thing to demonstrate your power. And I'm thankful this evening that God has not only declared His power in His Word, He says that He is the Lord God omnipotent. He says there's nothing too difficult, nothing too hard for Him. But we find that over and over throughout the Word of God that He demonstrates that power. There's something precious about that demonstration of God's power. There's something impactful about the demonstration of God's power. There's something about reading through the Scriptures and seeing the power of God on display that will strengthen your faith, that will encourage you to believe that God is able. And this evening, we find that even though Abram had made some decisions and he goes down into Egypt and he's there and he tells Sarai, "Here's how I want you to identify yourself," and Sarai is now in the house of Pharaoh, that God still works mightily. The Bible tells us in verse number 17, And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. You know, it's interesting, oftentimes when we think about the plagues in Egypt, what do we think about? Moses. We think about the events in the book of Exodus, right? I mean, that's immediately where our minds go to when we think about the plagues in Egypt. And certainly we find that they're rehearsed, and you can see how that God is demonstrating His power there to the Pharaoh and in the book of Exodus, and you can read of those, and you can find how that the psalmist refers back to the plagues in Egypt. But I want you to understand that well before Moses ever came upon the scene, well before the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage, that God plagued Pharaoh. The Bible says that the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house, notice what it says, with great plagues. I don't know what they were. We know the plagues in Egypt during the life and ministry of Moses. We can read them and study them, and we can see what they are. We can see how that those plagues, on certain occasions, they affected the entire land, and other times there was a division, and the plague would be upon the Egyptians, but not upon the people of God. And you saw God demonstrating His power. But here in Genesis chapter number 12, when Abram goes to Egypt, when Abram says to Sarai, "Say that you're my sister," and Sarai is now in the home of the Pharaoh, that the Lord God of the universe plagues Pharaoh with great plagues. God's demonstrating His power. I hope this evening that this encourages you. I hope this evening that as we begin to see what's happening and we begin to see how God is intervening and how God is doing what Abram could not do, you understand in this particular situation, you understand that Abram is in a real bind. Have you ever made some decisions and say, "Man, I really messed this thing up"? The Bible says, notice verse 18, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said," now I just wish I could kind of have a glimpse of what this was like. Because I kind of, if I can, in my sanctified imagination, have this picture of Abram being wherever he was, and Pharaoh being in his house, and Sarai is there, and he's plagued by the Lord. We don't know what those plagues are, but I see a level of urgency on the part of Pharaoh calling for Abram. Amen? He says, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife?'" God somehow had supernaturally revealed, perhaps it's Sarai that reveals to Pharaoh in the midst of all these plagues, that she is the wife of Abram. And this man, this Pharaoh, he has some level of urgency for calling Abram. I believe that, I mean, listen, God got this guy's attention, right? No doubt, if this was the practice, if this was what happened, no doubt there were plenty of other women that had been taken into the house of Pharaoh. If Abram assumed that this was going to happen, and it's exactly what happened when they arrived there, I'm sure that Sarai wasn't the first one. But I believe that Pharaoh had an experience that he never had before. Why? Because the Lord God of the universe plagued him with great plagues. His house, not just him, those that were there. Notice, he says, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, 'She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife'? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way." You notice something very interesting. He didn't command for Abram to be killed. Is that not what Abram assumed was going to happen? Did not Abram have the conclusion that Sarai, "You're a beautiful woman. When we get there, they're going to see you. They're going to say that you're my wife, and they're going to kill me for your sake, and they're going to take you. So do this. Identify in this manner." Right? Now when Pharaoh knows that Sarai is the wife of Abram, he beckons, he calls for Abram, I believe, with a level of urgency. I remember the way in which the Pharaoh called for Joseph at the end of this book of Genesis, and you understand how that he was called with haste. And we find here that Abram is told, "Behold thy wife, take her, and go thy way." Isn't that awesome? Abram's not killed. Sarai's not killed. God supernaturally prevented Pharaoh from doing anything to Sarai. Which, by the way, could have, remember, we talked about the way in which Genesis 11, the latter part of the Genesis 11, the focus, the lens of Scripture zeroes in upon Abram and his line. Why? Because of the messianic prophecies. What was the promised seed that was going to come? Remember, we understand the fullness of that is the Lord Jesus Christ, but we understand that Abram and Sarai would have a son, Isaac. God was working. God is always able to work. We find that the Bible says in verse number 20, not only did Pharaoh say to Abram, here's your wife, take her and go thy way. Then Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. It was as if he had some level of protection from the Pharaoh, but the reality is that he had protection from God Almighty. And this evening, as I look at this passage of Scripture, as I see the difficulty that Abram encountered there in Canaan, as I rehearse the decisions that were made and how they journeyed and what they decided to do, and I see the place in which Sarai ends up, but then I view the demonstration of God's power and I see how God works, it encourages me this evening. But here's the lesson. I'd ask this question. As you look at Scripture and you begin to understand that God has given us His Word for a purpose, it's more than just a historical account. I'm thankful for the fact that the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, when you read about the historical events that are recorded, that God has given us an accurate account of history. But it's so much more than that. We find that there are lessons. We could ask ourselves this question as we go through life. Maybe you've, as a parent, you've said to your children at some point or another as they've gone through life and they experienced some difficulty, they went through some hardship, you say, hey, did you learn your lesson? And I've asked myself this question about Abram in this passage of Scripture. Abram, did you learn your lesson? Did you learn a lesson, Abram? That you can trust God, that God is able to work beyond what you can even fathom. Unfortunately, I'd have to say that Abram didn't learn the lesson. Why? Because in Genesis chapter number 20, he does the same thing. How many of you have made the same mistake more than once? Don't raise your hand, right? Sometimes we call ourselves slow learners. I like to be a fast learner. Doesn't mean I'm always a fast learner, but I like to be a fast learner. In fact, I try to, as much as possible, not only learn from my mistakes, but learn from other people's mistakes. It saves a lot of time. Amen? You know what I mean? We don't always learn the first time, though. Abram didn't learn. In Genesis chapter number 20, we'll get there in a few months probably, but in Genesis chapter number 20, you read about the situation with Abimelech. You find that he goes down there and he says in verse number 2 of Genesis 20, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. He didn't learn his lesson. Similar things happen. We'll get to it in several months, weeks, whatever it's going to be. But the reality this evening is when we can ask if Abram learned a lesson, and we can say, well, not really, because he repeated the same mistake in Genesis chapter number 20. My question for me this evening, my question for you this evening is, have we learned a lesson? You say, well, what's the lesson we're supposed to learn? Don't lie about my wife's identity? No. That's not the lesson to learn. Amen? It's not. Here's the lesson to learn. We got to stop intervening and acting like the solution to our problem relies on us. That's how we live sometimes. Amen? That's how we live sometimes. We live as if we see a situation and say, okay, here's how we have to solve that situation, and here's what's going to be dependent upon, and I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing, and I'm going to manipulate whatever I'm going to do in order to resolve this issue. What about if we just step back and let God be God? What is it that we could see God do if we really would just trust Him? Now, I'm thankful this evening that Abraham had the opportunity to see God work in a mighty way, and God plagued the house of Pharaoh because of this situation, and I believe we learn lessons because of that. Here's the lesson that we learned. As much as I try, I can fail, but God still can. Can I ask you this evening, if Abraham would have showed up in Egypt and he would have walked in there and said, "This is my wife," do you think that God was able to protect her and him? Yeah. How is it that God would have protected them? We don't know, because he didn't do it that way. Right? So we have no idea what God would have done. But we know that God still worked. In this evening, I believe that there are times in my life, I believe that if you'd be honest this evening, there are times in your life that you miss out on seeing what God can do because we've done. And this evening, we look at this passage of Scripture and we say, man, our God is able. Our God can. And our God does work in miraculous ways. And he is able to do what I can't even comprehend. See, Abraham in this situation, Abram in this situation, he could not come up with a way in which God could work. It was beyond perhaps his logic, his reasoning, so he has to take matters into his own hands. But really, he doesn't have to. But you understand this evening, there are times that we're in the same boat. Right? There are times we're in the same exact boat. We say, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what's going to... Just trust God. You say, that's too easy. I know waiting and trusting is not the easiest thing to do. It's a hard thing. When I said that you say it's too easy, people have that response, oh, that's just an easy answer. No, no, it's the right answer. Not easy to do. But it's the right answer. The psalmist said, it is time for thee to work, O Lord. And the reality this evening is that when we look at the whole of Scripture, when we look at events that God has recorded in his Word, they're given to us to strengthen our faith. They're given to us to help us to learn lessons. As I mentioned a moment ago, Abram may not have learned the lesson, but I believe this evening that we can learn the lesson. I believe that we can look at the event in Genesis 12, we can look at the event in Genesis chapter number 20, and we can learn some valuable life lessons on how we live our lives and how we live by faith and trust the Lord. Because God is able. He's able. And I'm so thankful that God worked here in this passage of Scripture to remind us, to show us, to demonstrate to us, to display to us what he's able to do. I don't know what each individual situation is. I know one thing, we got a whole lot of problems in our world. Amen? We got a lot of problems in our world. Sometimes you talk to people and there's a long conversation that goes on and somebody may come and say, hey, did you solve all the problems of the world? We are not solving all the problems of the world. But can I tell you that God is the answer? Jesus is the answer? And we begin to sit back and say, what is God able to do? How is God able to work? Not what kind of program I can put together, what kind of thing I can do, but we want God to work. And this evening, I hope that we'd learn a lesson from this event in the life of Abram. They went down into Egypt. Listen, there are times that you're going to face difficulties in your life. In fact, I mentioned on Wednesday evening that passage of Scripture in Acts 4 that they had been with Jesus. It won't prevent the hardships, but it certainly will prepare you for them. We think about Daniel in Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel had a hardship. It was called a den of lions. But do you know that it was actually his very walk with God that resulted in that hardship? Because he prayed, right? That's what the Bible tells us. This evening, there are going to be some difficulties. But how we respond to those difficulties, what are the decisions that we make in response to that? We must not lean on our own understanding. We must recognize that God is able. and that God can do something that we cannot even begin to fathom. And I want to see God work. I want to see God do something miraculous. He's able. He really is. God loves to show Himself powerful. I love the truth of God's Word when you look and say, we can't explain it other than say, God did it. The Lord did it. Right? You think about those disciples with the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. Someone could come to them, and it's not recorded in the Scripture, but someone, how'd you do this? We didn't. God did. What was the perspective of the disciples, by the way, in both of those accounts? Send them away that they might get something to eat. Right? But this evening, oh, that we would have that increased faith that God can. God is still God. He's still upon His throne, and He's still able. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for loving us. As we consider the event in the life of Abram this evening, we see the historical account of their journey to Egypt, and we read of the famine. God, we understand this evening that You are God. That even as Abram obeyed You, and thus was in the very place that he was supposed to be, there was a great famine. Lord, we learn lessons from that. The time of difficulty and hardship is not necessarily the result of disobedience, but rather an opportunity for You to be glorified and for us to be developed. Father, we think of the demonstration of Your power here in this passage of Scripture, how it encourages my heart to once again be reminded of what You are able to do and how You are able to work. God, is our prayer this evening that we'd learn a valuable lesson, that we would not rely on our own understanding, that we would not try to scheme and devise some type of plan in our own understanding. God, that we'd exercise faith, believe You and trust You, that You're able to protect. I believe this evening with all my heart that if Abram would have entered Egypt, declared that Sarai was his wife, that You would have divinely protected them. God, I pray this evening that You would help us in our lives daily as we walk moment by moment, day by day. You'd help us to recognize that You are able. Help us to live by faith. I pray that You would work in hearts and lives this evening. Help us to make decisions that would please Thee. Help us to respond in obedience. We'll thank You for the work that You'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me?